Welcome back, Monsignor.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to today explore the fourth Sunday of Lent as preparation for Easter. And I'd like to today begin with the prayer itself of the fourth Sunday of Lent, which is a powerful calling on God. And so I invite you, as we begin the readings, to pray the prayer of the fourth Sunday of Lent. O God, who through your word reconciles the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebration to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first reading today to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming Easter on this fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from the Book of Chronicles, a reading from the second book of Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah and priests and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was inflamed, that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive into Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons, until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Until the land had retrieved its lost Sabbath, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given over to me. And he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever therefore among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the responsorial psalm. Let my tongue be silent if I ever forget you. Let my tongue be silent if I ever forget you. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land, we hung up our harps. For there our captives asked of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be in joy. Sing for us the songs of Zion. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. The second reading, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. That is, in the ages to come, he might show immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict: that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hopefully, these days when you're preparing for Sunday Mass, you will go and take these words in preparation, because we wanted to offer these before each Sunday so that you would have time when you do go to Mass on Sunday or on Saturday at the vigil, that your mind will already be prepared to listen to what God is saying in His Holy Word. In that reading from the Chronicles, you know, I hear so many preachers, and if you're a brother priest listening to this, you know, I think of all times the people do not have to hear that, you know, another Jeremiah stepping into the pulpit. We are not Jeremiah who was coming to tell the people that they were going to be destroyed, that the temple was going to be torn down, that they were going to be taken into exile because of their wickedness. Yes, I really believe we can tell the people and describe to them these dark days in which we live. We need to preach again to husbands and wives. And husbands and wives, you need to hear again that if you're contracepting in your marriage, you're really not keeping God's commandment according to the laws of God, not just of the church, that to be the sexual union that you have must be open to life that could come into the world through your love in Christ, Christ in you, you in Christ, come together. What a dark world we have when they can say the statistics show that 98% of Catholics practice contraception. I think that's not true, but I think it is true that there are many bishops and many priests who have not taught that. Mm-hmm. They have not taught the truth about what marital love is between a husband and a wife. This same days in which we live, it's not a question of contraception, it's sexual union between people who are not married. Fornication, adultery, masturbation, pornography, darkness. Yes. And if we want to say we live in that kind of day, yes, we do. And so to show the darkness of our days, in those days the princes of Judah and the priests of the people added infidelity to infidelity. Do we have false gods? Absolutely. The greed and the searching for all kinds of earthly pleasures and earthly goods and earthly empires is all over. The greed that drives people and some industries in banks, in all kinds of accumulation of wealth. And that's true. We have false idols. And this is a pollution, according to God. The stench of war and hatred and racism and violence that's going up before the throne of God all over the world. Yes. And that religion, and particularly the Catholic faith today, is being mocked. And all over the world also, we have messengers who have gone out to preach the light and the truth that have been killed. Yes. But what is the message that God wants to teach us in today's liturgy? It's mercy. It's love. I think so many times we see that God is so angry with the world that he made 2012 that he is going to destroy it. He is going to rain fire from heaven. And just as he did in that message that he was giving today in Chronicles, that people had gone so far away from him that the doom is going to come and we are going to be like this is not the message of God that's being preached today. That God is so angry that he has to take this anger out on someone. And so he sends his son down to earth. And that son, he is so enraged at the human race that he is going to beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him until the rage is out of him. And that's what Jesus did. That the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross was in order to satisfy the rage of God because of our pollution, depravity, and sinfulness. No. No. What's the message? The mercy and the love of God. Listen to it as it comes to us. What is it that I do not want to forget? I do not want to forget the love that God has for us. And Paul then writes so clearly, even when we were in sin. You know, I was born in the roaring 20s, and you know, in the boom age, and people drinking and breaking the law. Was that in the 20s? Do I want to go back to that? No. And all the kind of stuff that was going on just before, it was after Our Lady came to Fatima that we had this so-called golden age. That wasn't golden at all. And then the great crash. And then the Depression, and then World War II, in which more people were killed than in any other war in the world, which Our Lady said was going to happen. Was that? No. What is the message? For by the grace of God you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is not your good works. It is the gift of God, which came to us through Jesus, who came into the world 2012 years ago. If it had not been from the work of Jesus, we would not be saved. No one can be saved, and no one can boast, for we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The good works we do are his in us. We have been born into him. You are the baptized, confirmed children of God. Yes, you are sinners. And we are all sinners, and we have all been unfaithful, but God has always been faithful. And so he came into our world to clothe us with his Son. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. God when we were in sin and brokenness, this is what we must preach, and this is what we must experience through these holy words. Eternal life that comes from Him. If those people who come to Mass can hear us preach this, this divine love is being poured out on us in His holy word. Come, I have loved you with an eternal love. I was loving you when you were baptized. And when you come to Mass, come, and not to harangue our people of how wicked they are, but tell our people how loving He is, knowing our wickedness, knowing our depravity, that the worst sinners in the world at your Mass must hear the divine love, the infinite mercy. And the worse the sinner, the greater the love. God's love, if I be lifted up, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. And so many of our people will come to Mass in these darknesses, in the depravity, in their desolation, in their discouragements, with the workforce the way it is, with jobs the way they are, with their children on drugs, with all of the kinds of sufferings that we are going through, and hear the good news. I love you. My love is greater than any evil or sin you can commit. I can forgive everything, and I have come. For who knows it? Even I know it better than you do. I know your wickedness. I know you had an abortion. I know you had two abortions. I know all your depravity. Come to me. I have come to bring you salvation and love and redemption. And not only that, but to transform you and give you eternal life. When? Now, today, that the power of Jesus on this altar, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, has come to save you. Reach out. And the deeper your misery, which Chronicles tries to help us understand and unite with, priests and princes and people and leaders, come to me. I love you. I embrace you. Knowing all your wickedness, I have not come to condemn. I have come to save. And what is required? Faith in my love. Those who believe, let's listen again to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, when He says again, for God so loved the world, and He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him will not be condemned. Let's bring this message of divine love, infinite mercy, and salvation to God's people as they prepare. And that importance of confession along with preaching and teaching this Sunday. This is a great time for conversions, for lives to turn around. God's people, having been lost, if I forget you, let my tongue cleave to my palate, may my hand wither. The spirit of the Jew who's repentant as he is in a foreign land, that's the spirit of a Christian who is away from God, come back. The sacrament is just waiting for you to recognize the divine love. And even when you go and tell your brokenness to God, look up at his love. Look up at the cross. If I be lifted up, I will save all. Look at the crucifix. What is it a sign of? God beating his son so as to take his rage out on a rotten world? No. That son's life and death on the cross is the sign of divine love. How much do I love you, individual sinner? I love you so much that I send you my son. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. And may the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the goodness of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen.